Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business Bureau and the Better Business, Better Series, I'm your host, Will Johnson. Ever since Eric Snowden's 2013 bombshell revelation about mass surveillance captured the public attention, the topic of how our online data is collected, stored, and most importantly, used and shared once it leaves our fingertips has been front and center. From major social networks and other media businesses sharing our online activity with national security and law enforcement authorities, to how internet ads are trafficked and served up to those with astonishing precision. What can businesses do to make sure they honor their customers' privacy rights? Well, as it turns out, there are some real differences between how the U.S. and the European Union approach the topic. In fact, U.S. businesses have to be sure they meet specific legal requirements before they can handle personal data from consumers or employees in the EU. That's a big deal for any U.S. business expanding outside of the country, and someone who can help explain what business owners need to know about an important new arrangement on data transfers between the EU and the U.S., also called the EU-U.S. Privacy Shield, is Francis Henderson, Vice President and National Director of Privacy Initiatives for the Council of Better Business Bureaus. Francis, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about why a U.S. company of really any size has to be up to speed and aware of data privacy laws in the U.S. and overseas.
Well, Will, every company that's collecting consumer data has to be aware of privacy considerations. Most companies, no matter what size they are collecting more data than ever before. And not just the traditional transactional data to fulfill the order, name, address, and phone number. Often in the offline environment, a store is going to ask for your zip code and your email address. They may even want to send you an email receipt when you're checking out, and they're going to use that data in creating marketing profiles. Now, if you're online, your browsing data is going to be collected as you surf from one website to another, you're on social media, and they'll be collecting that data to serve you targeted advertising. All of that data collection activity and how your company's using and sharing the data should be notified to you as a customer in a business's online privacy policy or in some other form of notice. And that notice should talk not just about how data has been collected and shared, but any choices that you're offering consumers about future uses of the data, if they can opt out or opt in of any kind of sharing or use.
And that opt-in, opt-out, is that outlined usually in a T's and C's that many of us don't read?
Yeah, it could, if you're buying a service, it might be in the terms and conditions. But even if you're online in any website, it's going to have a privacy policy. It goes down to the bottom of the page, click on privacy, and pull up their privacy policy. If the privacy policy is not very explicit or not very good, that might be a warning sign about that company's privacy practices.
And what a lot of us might not realize is that that company might actually be connected to a lot of other companies or websites, right, that can use that information that we have?
Absolutely. When you are online, there's the page that you see, and then there are tracking technologies that are checking out your interactions with those pages and picking up data.
So it's not good press for a company to have been caught or revealed to have been sharing information that they shouldn't have, consumer data. What do companies have to lose if they are not protecting customer data in accordance with their privacy policies?
Well, companies are required to keep their privacy promises. And so they can be subject to legal sanctions under various state or federal laws.
So they're required by laws of, as you say, different state or federal, and this is across the board if you have a website that's out there doing business.
Yes, if you're making a misleading statement and deceiving your customers about how you're collecting and sharing their data, then you can be subject to legal sanctions. And of course, almost as importantly, online businesses in particular stand to lose customers if customers believe they can't be trusted to use their data in an ethical way. And, you know, consumers nowadays are much more aware of privacy than they used to be. And good privacy practices are becoming a way that customers differentiate, you know, between businesses. And a good business will use privacy practices as part of their customer service and to build trust in the marketplace. And that's something that's very important to us at the Better Business Bureau.
So let's talk about the differences between how U.S. and European governments are approaching the issue of data privacy. We're talking about major U.S. allies, right? So massive amounts of data and transactions being passed back and forth. It's valuable for anyone doing business in the EU to understand these differences. You direct a program for the BBB called Privacy Shield. Can you explain how that program works and how it can help companies address differences between EU and U.S. privacy laws?
Yes. So as you say, the EU and the US take different approaches to privacy. Simply put, the EU favours more comprehensive national privacy laws among the 28 countries of the EU. The US tends to take a sectoral approach to privacy. It has historically focused on more sensitive kinds of data like financial, healthcare data, children's data. And within the US, we also have a patchwork of state and federal laws. So back in 1995, the EU issued a law called the EU Data Protection Directive, which says that data can't be transferred outside the EU except to countries with privacy laws that the EU considers adequate or essentially equivalent to EU laws.
So is the US considered an adequate country?
No, it is not. The EU has not made an adequacy finding with respect to US law. So what this means is that transfers to US companies, whether it's consumer data or data of employees in European offices, all that individual data has to be transferred to the US using a transfer mechanism that is considered adequate. And there are a few adequate methods of transferring data. Most of them involve contracts that have to be approved or notified to data protection authorities across numerous countries within the EU.
All right. So how does Privacy Shield fit into this system?
Well, this system obviously didn't work very well, and it was very disruptive to EU-US trade. And so back in 2000, the EU and the US entered into an arrangement called the Safe Harbor Privacy Framework. And what that did was it allowed US companies to self-certify to the US Department of Commerce that they would adopt certain privacy principles in handling the EU data. And those principles generally tracked the EU Privacy Directive. And they required companies, among other things, to have an independent recourse mechanism, a dispute resolution mechanism, in place to handle EU privacy complaints. And there was oversight and backup enforcement for that system from the US Federal Trade Commission. And that arrangement lasted actually for 15 years, and it worked reasonably well until 2013. And as you mentioned in your intro, it was undermined in part by the Snowden revelations that there was mass surveillance going on, that mass surveillance extended to social media, to various services that were being provided not just in the US, but also around the world and certainly in the EU.
So that really was a bombshell, as I said, that it probably made many of us realize that our fears could come true about that.
Yes, it certainly raised lots of concerns within the United States and perhaps even more in Europe, and caused both sides to start revisiting how the Safe Harbor program was working. In fact, the framework was ultimately invalidated by a European court in 2015, and that came out of a case originally brought against Facebook in Ireland regarding mass surveillance on Facebook. So in 2016, the EU and the US came back to the table and they reached a new arrangement that was modelled on the Safe Harbor, but better, stronger in every respect. So it had stronger privacy protections for EU consumers. It imposed greater transparency requirements in US companies. So when we're talking about privacy notices, that meant that companies had to be much more explicit about what they were collecting, how they were sharing. There were mandatory disclosures that they had to make about how US governmental authorities might access that information. It provided for increased oversight by both US and EU authorities, and it enhanced the redress mechanisms for EU consumers.
And so that's now what has become this arrangement called Privacy Shield.
Exactly.
So why should US companies be interested in using Privacy Shield?
So like the Safe Harbor before it, it is still the most flexible mechanism for receiving and handling personal data from all 28 of the EU countries. And in fact, just last week, Switzerland, which is actually not part of the EU, but follows similar trade policies, has just announced its own Privacy Shield, replacing its old Safe Harbor program. So as of April this year, companies will be able to use this mechanism for Switzerland as well.
Okay, so what does a US business need to know in terms of the Privacy Shield in order to be in compliance and collect customer information in European countries?
Well, essentially, they need to be able to ensure that their internal procedures are such that they can comply with the Privacy Shield principles. And those principles are available on the Commerce Department website and also on the BBB website. They have to verify, either internally or with an outside attorney or a consultant, that all their processes are working. Then they have to adopt a privacy policy that meets all these enhanced requirements for notice. And of course, the privacy policy must reflect their actual privacy practices. Then they have to identify an independent recourse mechanism to handle consumer complaints. And then they're ready to go into the Commerce Department and self-certify that they're complying with the framework and they're ready to receive data.
Okay, so how can companies then get help with this certification process?
Well, many companies rely on their independent recourse mechanisms for help. And the Better Business Bureau is an independent recourse mechanism. We actually operated BBB EU Safe Harbor for 15 years under the Safe Harbor framework. So we are a trusted provider with strong relationships with regulators and with both businesses and consumers. So you can look at our website for resources and links to relevant pages on the commerce site. And we actively work with our participating companies to make sure they're ready for self-certification.
So I'm sure our listeners can tell, Frances, that you have a long history, as you've mentioned. This goes back many years with the Better Business Bureau, and you are an expert on this. How does the Better Business Bureau come into play specifically?
Well, what we do is we assist companies who come to us, first of all, in drafting a privacy policy that meets these detailed requirements that I've mentioned. We will answer their questions regarding the self-certification process with the Commerce Department, and we can help them troubleshoot their self-certification if it takes a while to get that through the process and get approved. On an ongoing basis, we handle privacy complaints that the company's been unable to resolve itself. And we'll also, during the period that the company's with us, we'll help them keep their privacy policy compliant and their certification compliant. We have some monitoring technologies that we use to help with that.
So not only can companies be involved with this directly with the BBB, but EU individuals can actually reach out to the BBB as well if they're having online privacy concerns and want to make a complaint.
Absolutely. We handle privacy complaints against companies participating in our program. We require them to place a link to our online complaint form in their privacy policies so that their customers can reach us directly. We'll work with the company and the complainant to try to resolve the complaint through conciliation, which is a type of mediation. And in fact, that's how we resolve most complaints. In a more complicated case, a complainant might request a data privacy review, which is actually an arbitration conducted by one of our external independent arbitrators who are expert privacy lawyers.
And do you see a lot of complaints?
We don't actually see that many complaints. And in part, that is because it's required under Privacy Shield and was required under Safe Harbor that companies first attempt to resolve the complaint themselves. Companies tend to self-select into these programs. And so many of our companies have pretty robust complaint handling mechanisms.
Are businesses largely aware of Privacy Shield? In your experience, how does a small online business that's expanding outside of the U.S., which has got to be going on at a huge rate, actually, even learn about this certification?
Well, it is definitely harder for small businesses to find out about it in the United States. There are resources available to them from the Commerce Department, from the BBB. How they tend to find out about it is from their business partners in the EU. Because it's EU law that applies to an EU business and requires that they make transfers to the US using an adequate mechanism. So those business partners will approach the US company and say, you need to join Privacy Shield before we can transfer data to you. So that is probably a primary way a lot of our smaller companies find out about the program.
And there's that term adequate mechanism again.
Mm-hmm.
Frances, it's a complicated topic, but it's one that businesses really should understand, those that are growing and want to expand outside of the U.S. And and we're just talking about the EU here. I'm guessing that there are arrangements, or could I ask, or in other countries around the world?
There are. There is a somewhat similar program that is just being developed in Asia, in the APEC countries. Increasingly, as companies look for something called global interoperability, where they really want one set of privacy practices that they can follow for the whole world, I think we're going to see more and more of these regional groupings and arrangements that facilitate trade.
All right. Well, again, Francis Henderson is an expert on this topic and is helping a lot of individuals and companies understand this process. Let me mention the websites where people can learn more, privacyshield.gov and also bbb.org/EU Privacy Shield. Francis Henderson, again, Vice President and National Director of Privacy Initiatives for the Council of Better Business Bureaus. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much, Will.
We'll be talking to Francis again in a few weeks, so make sure you stay subscribed to the Better Business, Better series and keep listening to learn a whole lot more about playing it safe in the online universe. For the Better Business Bureau and the Better Business, Better series, I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.